How are you?
I'm saving it. I'm just like, I'm like a volcano, honestly.
Holy moly. Okay. You got a sharp haircut, my friend. Okay. I'll take that silence for violence. Lumen's about to go in. Let's go for it then, Lumen. Hello and welcome to a different corner. I hope you're well. Now, my game week was yet another dud. If it was summed up by any piece of action on the field, it was Jarrell Kwanzaa's misplaced pass right to an opponent into the middle of the field, and the Bruno Fernandes capitalising with a superbly taken strike, gliding over the keeper into an empty net, was my friend Dr. Lumen Ali. It is not probably the most appropriate analogy to make because Lumen is a Liverpool fan. Lumen, how are you?
I'm not good. I'm not good at all. You know, when you can see something coming and then it happens, doesn't necessarily make it any better. Craig Burley said something on ESPN which resonated. He said, Liverpool going into this game had only one hurdle to clear, and that was themselves.
The slightest tilt away from Liverpool. The slightest, I would say. Level on points with Arsenal. Goal differences in favour of Arsenal. This was the fixture that you were dreading the most. You were scared. You were nervous about it because of Ten Hag's weird record against you guys, barring that freak 7-0. This could have been a 7-0 by all accounts. Domination. But what you feared would happen happened because... What did you describe? Manu have been living a charmed life recently, and again they did. But you're putting this down not to Man United and whichever gods they are praying to, but more that Liverpool just didn't get the job done. I've heard Van Dijk said it's our fault, basically, and that's where you're putting it down to. Is it because you're not clinical enough?
100%. The eyes don't lie. There's so much to this, but let's break it down into three parts. Part one, ever since Jota got injured, Jota came in at a time when Mo Salah was away and he helped us immensely. He went down injured. If you look game after game, we go behind, and then, you know, yesterday we didn't go behind, but that's been a common problem, and then it's an uphill battle from thereafter. A good example, I mean, I could give you a good couple of examples. We played Sheffield United. In midweek, we go behind, they're bottom of the table, and, you know, we almost conceded within the first minute or two. If you look at the goals we scored, the first goal was a mistake by the keeper. The second goal was a worldie from McAllister. And the third goal, you know, was the only time we had a clear-cut chance. So, you know, for whatever reason, we're playing a bottom team at home and we're not on it. The game before that, we're playing Brighton and we miss chance after chance after chance after chance. A good contrast is Arsenal. They played Brighton away and they were convincing. They were absolutely convincing. So we've been grinding through games. And that was my fear going into this game, is that, you know, we're not taking our chances. And when Mo Salah is off the boil, you've got your concerns. You know, we've got to be kind all the time. But look, bottom line is, you know, Roy Keane, we make fun out of him, you know, and he's become almost a parody. But he's right. It's your job. And when you've got three guys playing up top that miss sitters, absolute sitters, game after game, Jurgen Klopp has set the team up in such a way where we're creating chance after chance, but we're not putting it away. So going into the game, our profligacy was a concern. And then the other concern going into yesterday's game was United. I'm speechless at this aura they've got around them where they're so bad. They are so bad. But yet they still stay in games because the opposition decide not to put them away. It happened in the FA Cup against Liverpool. It happened against Brentford in the league. It happened against Chelsea in the league, where within they're literally a few seconds away from getting a result, and they're still there. And we've let them off the hook. Now, Jarrell Kwanzaa, a lot's going to be made about his mistake, and it was a disastrous mistake. Make no mistake about it. But then let's not forget, Van Dijk and Alisson going into each other against Arsenal, right? These things happen. The real fault, right? We it's about accountability. And Jurgen Klopp, yes, he's right. These are the players that bought us 71 points. But if you want to win things, it's about business. And, it's about accountability. And our forward players have let us down. We are missing Diogo Jota like mad. He will be welcomed back with open arms. So we've spoken about Liverpool not being convincing goal, Man United having this crazy, crazy aura about them. And the third thing is, and I've been saying this to you, is Man City have got the pedigree, and they showed it again this weekend where, they come back from going behind. They pummeled the opposition. They pummeled Crystal Palace. There was no mercy. There was no mercy. And Arsenal, I'm telling you, since the turn of the year, whenever it is, they are on it. So that's why this defeat, it feels like a defeat, because, our competitors, they look like title contenders. We don't look like title contenders. We look like we're there by accident. We look like we're there by accident.
Interesting. Now, I've got a few points to raise. So, firstly, there by accident, you've only lost two games this season. I know the draws is the big issue. The draws is the big issue. The other thing I would say is, at the start of the season, you weren't expecting even to be in a title race. There's lots of young guys coming into this team. It's a transition year.
You're right.
Right? I know you're here now. But I feel that's harsh. It's harsh.
Put it this way, right? Let's just say you're going about in life and, the wives aren't listening. They don't listen to this podcast. But you'll never have a chance of landing a Heather Graham. But, just by pure fluke, you're going flying off somewhere and you get upgraded to business class. And, Heather Graham's sitting next to you. And, it's an opportunity that you would never have expected. You've got to take that opportunity. You've got to take that opportunity. And that's what it is. We got upgraded to business class, right? We got sat next to Heather Graham, right? And we did not take the chance.
I read this tweet, and it was from an Arsenal account. Actually, he's a really good analyst, and he wrote, this was before, not this was against the Sheffield United, in the Sheffield United game, so midweek last week. I watch Liverpool and see lots of shots, but also lots of bad shot selection. Feels like a shot volume team to me, not a control-based team. And I just thought that was really interesting. I know Liverpool are just frantic and it was just go at you, go at you, go at you. And I wonder if you have lost, I don't know, maybe you still have the control. You dominated United, you dominated Sheffield United as well. But I don't know if there's any truth in that. Maybe you're just a high-volume shot team and, most of them are not going
to
come off.
There's so much to it, poor pass selection, Yes, there are bad shots like a teenager on a Mediterranean holiday, but at the end of the day, the chances are there. We're not taking them. And when you see how clinic, it's about your mindset. It's about your mindset, where Man City and Arsenal are absolutely clinical at this moment in time. They've got no mercy for the opponent. Poor Jarrell Kwanzaa. He is going to get it just like Stevie G got it for that slip years ago. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you break down the mistake and the reason for the mistake, maybe that's the mindset. Maybe it's being too casual when you shouldn't be that casual when you're 1-0 up. And, you know, but you know what? Can we move on, man? I'm just like, I can't move. I this is gonna, you know, this is gonna haunt me. I was talking to someone yesterday, and I was saying to them that when Liverpool had that grave injustice committed against them against Spurs, it wasn't great. I wasn't happy, but I got over it. I, even up till this weekend, I did not get over the draw to United at Old Trafford. It's the one result I've not been. We drew against Luton. You know, we were awful against Arsenal, but I've forgotten about them, right? Forgotten about it. I, even up till yesterday, I could not get over that draw at Anfield because of how bad United were and their team sheet. And this is another result. This is going to stay with me forever. Thank you very much, Liverpool forwards. You've really made a mark on me.
Oh, God. Well, what I would say is there's a couple of things here. Liverpool, this was the fixture you were dreading the most of the fixtures, right? So now, actually, you could go into the remaining 8 games of the season. And I think they're all winnable for you, right? But you've got that one out of the way. Whereas Arsenal have still got our sticky one. Our stickiest one is Spurs away, and we've still got to. So the way you're feeling about this, Arsenal's still got to do that. And Man City will just beat everyone.
No. Stop. The reason why I was dreading this game is because knowing how bad Man United are, and that we would not put them away. That's why I was dreading this game, right? This game, that's the reason why I was dreading it. It wasn't a case of, oh, this will be the last challenge before we've got a clear run. No. Knowing how bad this United are, I was absolutely dreading it because, you know, dropping points to this United team is horrible, you know. And the bottom line here is form. We are in form where we are not taking our chances. Arsenal and Man City, I'm going to say this with a good deal of confidence, right? Man City, I am 100% sure, will win the rest of their games. I can say that with utter conviction. Arsenal, I'm almost going to say that the only thing is the Champions League involvement, right? But Arsenal, I'm not going to say Arsenal are going to win every game. But what I would say is if Arsenal won every game, it wouldn't surprise you, given that balance that they've got.
We're 20 minutes into recording and I'm still struggling about the on business class sitting next to Heather Graham analogy and willing to risk it all because I don't know if that's the same for a football analogy than basically risking your whole life on a venture towards Heather Graham. That's a wild analogy to me.
It's a once in a lifetime opportunity that you don't get. You got one shot.
Oh dear. Okay, well, let's talk about form. Let's talk about form, right? Because we've had 2 game weeks to cover. Let's do the most recent one because, it just happened. I ended terribly. My form this season has just been bad. So it's actually true to form where I've been.
How was it going into the week? What was it like the week before?
So the week before for me, right, where did I end up? It was the midweek fixtures. Horrible because there was just rotation, right? I had Gordon who was out anyway. Yeah, he was in red carded the previous game, so he was on my bench. But I had Jacob Quirior I was expecting a clean sheet, Arsenal. They got a clean sheet against Luton, but he was rested. I had Bukayo Saka. He did pick up a niggle, but he was rested. Areola, West Ham, he's injured. So I had completely what my plan was on the field completely changed with the fixtures, with the rotations, with the resting, with the injuries, with the red cards. And on my pitch in the end, I had three players who got dots. Martinez, 0. Gusto, 0. Haaland, 0. So somehow I managed to get 41 points, a captain with Mo Salah, who got taken off after what? How many minutes? 59 minutes. Oh my gosh, how infuriating is that? Cole Palmer was the one that saved me with a hat trick. The funniest game of football, Man United versus Chelsea. How does that happen? But he saved my game week. I actually had Adam Smith at Bournemouth, who got me a clean sheet and three bonus. So I managed to get 9 points there. And I ended up on 41. That's really all I can say, because it was a game week of rotations and injuries. And I somehow ended up on 41. How did you do?
That was an off a back average of 46. I mean, how did I do? Well, that week, I got 45 points, average of 46. Similar to yours, very similar. Palmer got me 20 points. Gabriel got me 6. Bowen got me 5. Again, and I had 11 players playing. What was interesting in this game week was, for the team of the week, you had Palmer getting 20 and Foden getting 20. They both scored hat-tricks. Here's what happened with me. Do you remember I was telling you that I'm going to have an explosive midfield, right? So what happened was, that explosive midfield was going to have Phil Foden. But then Jared Bowen gets 10 points against Newcastle. And I did not think, you know what, he's at home, he's good. And I kept him in. He got me 5 points, but had I bought Phil Foden in, it would have been 50, an extra 15. But this was a killer game week for so many teams, because it had so much rotation, etc. So all in all, not a great game week for a lot of people. 46 is not that great. But then you had a chance to right that wrong this week, and did you?
I did not. I did not. Of course I didn't. I've had a terrible just season, actually. A terrible FPL season. I got 52, and the average was 56. Points coming from Saka in midfield, Palmer an assist for Son, who was my captain, a goal for Salah, fair enough, a goal for Haaland, but then just nothing in the defence. What was it? Yeah, Bournemouth did not keep a clean sheet for me. Aston Villa conceded 3 goals against Brentford. Oh my gosh. Aitnuri, I brought him in. I kind of like him at Wolves. Ryan Aitnuri, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, got me an assist. And actually, I was disappointed that they conceded 2 and lost to West Ham. Yeah, terrible. Otherwise, I've cursed Munoz for you and for me by the looks of it. No, nothing in the last 2 since I've got him in, considering he'd scored like, what, 5 or 6 on the bounce. So apologies for that, Lumen. Solanke at Luton, nothing again. 2 blanks in a row for him. Yeah, I'm just having a horrible, horrible a season of it. Again, below the average. Probably dropped in the overall ranking almost definitely as well. Yeah, just terrible. How about yourself?
Better, but still... we'll go on to why I'm still a bit annoyed. But 66 points, similar to yours. I got Haaland, Son captain, Palmer 5, Saka 10, Salah 8. But where I got the points this week was in defence, because Branthwaite and Gabriel got me 6 points each, and Dubravka got me 9 points with a clean sheet. The player that everyone's moved off of, I kept, was Watkins, but he's on my bench. He's 13 points on my bench. It was painful. It was absolutely painful. You've royally messed things up for me with Muniz, if you know.
Apologies. You are still, I've just looked at the overall, Lumen. You're superb, mate. 200,000th. That's what it says on my screen.
I've dropped. And we're going to go into the reason for my disappointment, because in almost every league I'm first, but then there's a couple of leagues where start of the year I was top. And then these two guys, we're going to go on to how they've got ahead of me, which is interesting. But those two, they're still ahead, and it's very frustrating. But I want to know what you think of Erling Haaland. Because, right, we've spoken about Erling Haaland, but I think everyone who's kept Erling Haaland has royally messed up. And let's look at the cold hard numbers, right? From game week 15 onwards, right? And he had five game weeks where he didn't play. But even then, let's look at this. From game week 15 onwards, we're talking about 16 game weeks, right? Before the Palace game. In fact, let's include the Palace game. In 17 game weeks, he's only had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 returns. That is terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It's terrible for the most expensive player on the game by some distance. It's terrible because he takes up so much of your squad money and organization. Those numbers are not worth 14 million, 14.3 million pounds. They're not worth it. It's not worth it.
He went up to 14.5 million at one stage. Surely the most expensive player in FPL history. And
you would have thought so.
Their next three fixtures, right? Are Real Madrid in the Champions League, and sandwiched in between is a home game against Luton. Now, I know what people are thinking. It's going to be carnage. It will be carnage. They're going to absolutely annihilate Luton. But will Erling Haaland be on the pitch when they do it?
This is the thing. This is the problem. Pep roulette. Arsenal rested players against Luton at home. Why wouldn't Pep do the same? Especially when we've got the likes of Alvarez. I mean, you know, we know what a City's squad is like. Why wouldn't you? The issue here, though, Lumen, is Erling Haaland is still the top goal scoring, top goal scorer in the Premier League. He's got 19 goals this season. To drop him is a, you know.
But here's where this comes from, right? In the first 10 game weeks, he scored 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, 9, 11 goals. So he did that majority of his damage. In fact, in the first 13 weeks, he scored 13 goals.
Yeah. He did most of his in 2023, he did most of his damage in 2023. 2024 is a bit of a different thing. But, you know, you look at, he is a top goal scorer. And the other issue, Lumen, is we've all been looking to game week 34 as the doubles for many teams, not Man City. But Man City will have a double because they've got a Spurs fixture to reorganize. And it's got a TBC, to be confirmed, on it. I know it's Spurs away, but Man City will have a double game week at some point this season. I've read that it's likely to be in game week 37 when they're also away to Fulham. So to get rid of Erling Haaland, I can understand the logic, but to get rid of Erling Haaland when you know there's a double game week coming up at some point between now and the rest of the season, it's a really hard thing to kind of divorce yourself away from an Erling Haaland.
The only thing that saves him is the lack of viable alternatives. By viable alternatives, I'm talking about the guys who are week in, week out brilliant. I mean, Isak, you know, he had a good run of form. Wood's on a good run of form. Solanke's had a good run of form, but there's no guy out there that you can say, you know what? I noticed a lot of people moving to Nunez recently. Mate, I mean, Nunez, right, is so unreliable. It's crazy.
I just think it's in the last two game weeks when I've jinxed him, basically. So I will gladly take him out of my team, Lumen, because I'm looking forward to that game week 34. And I'll be very upfront. It's Mateta for me, potentially. Crystal Palace are still in a sticky situation. And I think I'm going to go there as a cheap alternative.
Hakuna Mateta!
Hakuna Mateta. That's a great one. That's your team name for next year. Sorted. But yeah, away from Haaland, we should talk again about... I moved away from him. You had him on the bench. A load of teams did move away from him because he was meant to be injured. Ollie Watkins was meant to be injured, and he goes and bags a brace, gets those bonuses as well. He's having an unreal season. 18 goals, which is one shy of Erling Haaland, but 15 assists. That was bonkers to me. I looked at his numbers, and where were they? Here we go. So I looked at his numbers, and he is the first player to reach 200 points for the season. Incredible. He scored an average of just over 6 points a game week. And if he keeps that up, he's on for roughly 240 points for the season. It's still fairly short of, I think, of the top 10 goal scoring, point scoring strikers, I think, or points, point scoring players generally. I think on the lowest one was RVP was on 260, but even to be in that company is pretty, it's an unbelievable season Ollie Watkins has had. And you've not got rid of him. So presumably he is right back in your team, and Aston Villa have got a Champions League spot to try to prize away from Spurs at the minute. So Ollie Watkins has got to go back into everyone's team who hasn't got him currently, right?
Yeah, but he's got a game next where they're going to get pulverized. His next game, his team, he's not going to do anything. He's going to get pulverized.
They are Arsenal away. Ollie Watkins away to Arsenal. They're up against the best defence in the league. And you know what? Can I just say? I love free scoring Arsene Wenger days, right? Free scoring, loved it. So beautiful football. But I can't remember a time, this is some time ago, when Arsenal were just solid. And it brings me so much joy. I can't remember a time, it would have been Tony Adams days, when it was just like, well, we're just not going to let you score here, guys. And I love it. I love a clean sheet so much. And Arsenal have 14 clean sheets this season. I looked at the record, and it's something crazy, like Chelsea 24 clean sheets in a season, which is unbelievable. Those were in the Mourinho and Czech John Terry days, that kind of the era. But Arsenal's 14 clean sheets makes me so happy. Yeah, it is. Can I just tell you also, ask you a question? Do you know who's second in top clean sheets for this season?
Is it Andre Onana for Manchester United?
No, it's not. Although this game week probably has skewed it all. Everton.
Pickford. Yeah, that's why. Everton. But that's why I've got Jarrod Brunthwaite.
Everton have been horrible this season. I don't know how they've managed to get 9 clean sheets. That's unbelievable. Just surprised me.
So earlier on, I was talking about a couple of guys in my mini leagues who've overtaken me and they've got big leads on me. Now, what I've noticed, the majority of teams that I've checked have got the same 7 odd players, right? Everybody's got Salah, Saka, Palmer and Son, right? Those 4, everyone's got. And then it's either Bowen or Foden or someone like that, right? And then everyone's got Haaland. So automatically there, you've got 5 players the same. Then everyone's got an Arsenal defender or 2. And you see the same 6 or 7 players in every single team, right? I've had a think about where these guys have overtaken me, and it's because it's the differentials. So do you know which player he's had until this week? Well, he had him on the bench. He's the only guy I know who's got Garnacho. And Garnacho, last week, when the week that we got 45 and 41, Garnacho got 14 points. Like, a proper differential. The week that he played his wild card, the week that Raz played his wild card, he brought Alexander Isak in. And he got 15 points that week for him.
Yeah, God. How do these guys do that? How do they do that? I just don't understand how people make those bold calls and it just works out every time.
Yeah. Then, you know, in game week 28, right? He had Garnacho 9 points, Pedro Porro 7 points. So, you know, the differentials are what and is where my guys are not doing it in the same way. And also, the other thing is that the two reasons they've got on ahead of me and the reason why I've dropped is differentials and captaincy choices. Every week we've said, I get my captain wrong. It's so frustrating. The other guy, Alex, the gap's not as big as it is with Raz. His team is fascinating because, you know, I was saying that we've all got the same seven-odd players, right? In his midfield, he's got Son and Palmer, yes. And he's got Foden, but he was on the bench. He's got Gross and Douglas Costa.
Gross is silent, undercover, been just collecting points.
The week that you and I got 45 and 41 points, this guy got 79.
Holy moly.
For me now, as we look ahead to game week 33, it's all about our chips. Now, let's start with you. You have to use the wild card now with your defense situation. Your defense is... I remember talking to you a week or two ago and you were like very chirpy and saying, oh, you know, is it a wild card if I need to change only two players? You didn't count on...
Has he got Haaland?
...your defense, you know. You need to be playing first choice defenders. Mm-hmm. You need to be picking guys who are undroppable.
Yeah. Weeks when I went from cheap and cheerful players we were just going to play and just get even two or three, maybe a clean sheet every now and again and just stack the midfield. But now I've considered the Haaland money being used elsewhere and going big on Arsenal defenders, maybe upgrading a midfielder or two as well and getting just better strikers. But that's Haaland. Am I willing to part with him? I'm not sure. But yeah, I've got Gomez in, for example, Liverpool. And I thought Robertson was out for the season, or certainly a significant period of time. He's back straight away. So that's killed me. Kiwil at Arsenal, I had. I think now Tomiyasu's back.
You're trying to be too clever. If you're gonna pick Arsenal defense, it's Raya, Saliba, Gabriel, or White. Like, simple as that. It's not. You can't save money. Like, it's just, you just got to do it.
I'm trying to be too cute here. You're right. You're right. Yeah, I am. Yeah, it's basically the defense. The goalkeeper situation's horrible. I hate my goalkeeper situations. Martinez and Areola, like, what is that? It's horrible, right? Midfield, I could upgrade Gordon probably. Saka is the one who always, I think, oh, I don't know. And then he comes out with a goal, gets bonuses. And, you know, that's the one for me of like, is there an upgrade on Saka goals wise? But my gosh, he's got 14 goals and 10 assists this season. Like, I can't get rid of Bukayo. He's star boy. So yeah, I really just don't know where I'm going. But differentials, you know, I'm probably going to go Mateta. He's 1.5% ownership. He's cheap. Who else can you get in? Garnacho is an interesting one in midfield, potentially. Hoyland is not all of a sudden just not scored for time. He's not scored for ages, Hoyland hasn't. Calvert-Lewin has now got 2-2. Maybe that's a differential, potentially. But yeah, I struggle. I'm struggling with with even differentials. I'm just struggling this season, Lumen. Who are you looking at as a differential that you're looking
at? You're talking about upgrades on Saka. There's one upgrade on Saka, and he's going to be in my team for the rest of the season, right? And he's a guy, I sometimes I question if you are an Arsenal fan, because I remembered how emphatic you were, right?
Oh.
And you've cost me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I should say that he's definitely on my shopping list. We're talking about Kai Havertz.
And Kai Havertz is going to go into my team and he's going to stay there for the foreseeable, right?
Yeah. No, get him in. Get him in, mate. Get him in. Absolutely. Get him in. Let me play a quick who am I game. If we're talking about differentials, I've got a quick who am I game for you, okay, Lumen? I have scored 4 goals in 4 games. In the last 10 I've played. That's a significant part of that clue. In the last 10 games I've played, I've got 9 goals and 1 assist. And that's in the last 10 I've played. I'm only £4.8 million, and I've just broken into the top 10 strikers on FPL. Who am I, Lumen?
Oh, God, this is a good one. Who's in form? Is it Chris Wood?
It is Chris Wood. Very good. Very good. It was Chris Wood. Nottingham Forest, I think, are still in a bit of trouble. They lost to Spurs. Chris Wood, though, scored, and he smashed the post. He should have scored. They've got interesting fixtures coming up for me. I like their next fixtures. They're at home to Wolves and away to Everton. They've got a sticky fixture of Man City, but then Sheffield United. Ah, Chris Wood, if anyone is going to get them out of this relegation spot, this tricky, sticky bit they're in, it's got to be Chris Wood, you'd think. 4.8 million. I like him. I like him there a lot.
I get nervous when you talk about interesting fixtures, because he said the same thing about Muniz, and then look what happened there.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, mate. I just don't listen to me. Let's look ahead to game week 33 then very quickly. What are you thinking? Where are the tasty ones? The tastiest one you would have thought is Man City at home, but Pep Roulette. We've already talked about Haaland. Arsenal have got Villa at home. Liverpool have got Crystal Palace at home.
It's not just Haaland. It's someone like Foden, you know? You know, Foden would be nailed on, but you just don't know. You just don't know what he's going to do.
We will be there. We'll be there after game week 33. I'm groaning at just the sight of my team. Oh, I've got to fix so much. Can I just... Please get even, I said a few weeks ago, get 50 points to you. Can I even just get, I think you've broken the 100 point mark on me. Oh my gosh. Can I get to 70 points within you? That would be a win for me this season. Oh my gosh. I'm so bad. On that note, Lumen, good luck for game week 33. And I'll speak to you after it, my friend. We will be there.
We'll be there. We'll be there.